your fate. Since you're tiny. Every time I try to make it on my, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. I'm not afraid to die.
2 weeks ago, I realized I got up here and I invited all of our lovely women to an event, and the promo video didn't tell you what it was. So I'm going to give you a little rundown. You're going to get there in the morning about 8 o'clock. It starts at 8:30. We're going to have coffee, carafes going. We're going to have some muffins, some fruit, and I think this is like a workout up here. Gail Anderson is going to help lead us in some really powerful worship, along with the simulcast at 8:30. And then we're going to have some speakers, names like Lisa Harper, Jackie Hill Perry, Kelly Minter, Ruth Simons, Jamie Ivey, Christy McClelland. There's going to be two groups, Point of Grace and Austin Stone Worship. Our lunch is going to be served by some of our favorite men here in the church, and if you would like to help with that, or if you've already signed up, Theo would like to meet with you guys after church by the information desk in the foyer. We'll be done at 4:30, and I'll be honest with you, we don't have a rundown on what each speaker is going to talk about, but I can tell you that the theme that they picked is pursuing Christ together. We're going to share fellowship. We're going to work on becoming unshakable in our pursuit of Christ. And most of all, we've been praying. Women across the globe have been praying. And you guys have all been praying over this event. And God's going to be there. We know that. He's going to be there. He's going to show. And we're going to pursue Christ together. So today is the last day to register for that. You can sign up in the foyer after church with Gail, or you can register online, and our amazing tech team has actually figured out how to register your children for nursery online. So we're really excited about that. We've been working hard and praying a lot, and we appreciate your continued prayers and look forward to seeing all of our women there. So thanks.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Appreciate you all being here. And for those who are watching online, appreciate very much for you taking the time to attend with us. We look forward to the time you all can join us in person. Have some announcements I'd like to pass on to everybody before we get going with the service. Brianne was just talking about the women's event. I'd encourage you all to be there. It sounds like it's going to be a very encouraging and uplifting time. Next Sunday, April 18th, we're going to have a guest speaker. I'm not sure if any of you have ever heard of Grace Without Borders Ministries. I can tell you I hadn't. So reading about it, it looks very exciting to me. Basically, Larry Walker, he's going to be his ministry, Grace Without Borders Ministries, talks about he brings the life, a transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are incarcerated in correctional facilities. A lot of times that can be a forgotten demographic because they're out of sight, they're serving time, but they still need the love of Christ, and that can be a very dark place to be. So I'm excited to listen to him, and I would hope all of you tell your friends that just come here and listen to him speak and be encouraged to see what Christ is doing behind prison doors. Next week, next week, Sunday night, we're going to have a night of worship. It's going to be at 6 p.m. in the cafe down the hall there. Mike Burton also wanted to pass on to you last week with Easter, a thank you to those who helped with the Easter breakfast. He couldn't have done it without you, and so he wanted to make sure that you guys were properly thanked for helping out with that. We're going to have a governing board meeting for those who are on the governing board this coming Thursday. So make sure you have a spot on your calendar cleared up for that. And if you can't be there, just make sure you notify someone so we can accommodate for that. So having said all that, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time that we can gather together as a corporate body to worship you. We know we are here by your grace. Not one of us is better than the other. We all are in desperate need of your mercy and your forgiveness. Thank you that you came to die for us, and last week having celebrated your resurrection, because without your resurrection, our faith would be meaningless. I pray specifically right now for the family of Sergeant Jim Smith from the Iowa State Patrol. He was killed in the line of duty on Friday night. I ask that you would be with them. It's a very shocking thing to have someone who you love ripped away from your life so soon. So be with his family. I ask that you would reveal your presence to them. They would turn to you in their grief, and that the Christians in their life, that you would bring people around them who can encourage them and grieve with them. And for those that are unspoken prayer requests today, I know we all have some degree of that, and ask that you would be with each one of us, speak to our hearts. In our grief, comfort us. In our loneliness, be our friend. In our sadness, encourage us. May we all be united in you. Be with Pastor as he speaks and brings the message. I ask that he would speak the words you give him to speak. And may we have ears to hear. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning once again. Will you stand and worship the Lord with us?
Come all ye weary, come all ye thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all ye sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. God so loved the world. hope that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. His one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
Amen. Isn't it awesome to worship together in the house? Amen. My hope is built on nothing less. In Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest faith, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and storm.
boldness stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm,
thank you, Jesus, for being our calm through the storm. Thank you for everything that you do for us through the week. Lord, thank you for bringing us together to worship you. Let us enter into worship, not just be spectators, but to worship you wholly.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory. Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting. Soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. Your name, your name is victory. Christ our King. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Oh, by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Oh, is resurrecting me.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. Orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace,
so free, washes over me. You have made me new. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was ransomed, he faithfully bore. Canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me.
You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your though heaven had lost. Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand.
Amen.
When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace
so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. We're free, free forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, we're free,
free forever, we're free. Come
come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free forever. Amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. You may be seated and children may be dismissed.
Good morning. Anybody glad you're redeemed by the blood of Christ this morning? Anybody glad that his mercy is new every morning? Can you imagine if it wasn't? Can you imagine how miserable we would be if the grace of God wasn't new every morning for us? If his presence wasn't promised to us? I want to share with you just briefly about this character who's going to be here next week named Larry Walker. Larry's a really, really good friend of mine. He actually went through all my leaders and training stuff down in Newton. Also Rod Brower, who's the head of Grace Without Borders. And Rod's the one who started the ministry. They're in five states now doing prison ministry, and they've literally seen probably 5,000 or 6,000 men give their life to Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. And so Larry is over the area in Colorado, and he'll be here this coming Sunday, and I'm excited to have him here. He was in ministry with me in Newton. He was one of the pastors as well. He's a man of God. He loves the Lord. He has given his life to reach these guys behind bars, and I think you're going to find it really powerful. I actually served with them when I was in Arizona in the La Palma prison, all the California prisoners. I taught a class there, or actually held a service there every Thursday. And I'm just telling you, God is doing a work in these men's hearts. So what is important is next Sunday after he's done, after we're done with the service, we're going to have somebody at each door, one of the elders, and we're going to do a love offering to help support that ministry, to keep them going. Man, it's worth it, isn't it? Isn't it awesome to hear about God's redeeming power? I don't think there's anything greater. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, today you have a word for us. Lord, I thank you today that we want to leave different than we came in. Lord, today would you allow the Spirit of the living God to come and work in our hearts, work in our minds, open our hearts up to your presence, open our hearts up to the truth of your word. Lord, may we leave fully yours. We love you, Jesus. Have your way today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. By the way, we had 3 commitments to Christ this last week. Anybody excited about that besides me? I tell you, the Lord is on the move. We got a few people to reach because I know just in our little county, there's over 14,000. I don't know how we're going to see them all, but we're going to try. We need to reach everybody we can with the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we are entering back into our series on really walking or learning the Jesus way in the Gospels of Matthew, I just want to kind of bring us up to speed just a little bit. Jesus has hit the scene. Jesus has been baptized. The Spirit of God came down upon him. He's been led into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days and 40 nights and did not sin in any way, shape, or form. But the enemy left him for a more opportune time. So the battle's never over, is it? I think sometimes we think if we can just have victory over certain areas, and then, but the battle's never over. The enemy looks for weakness. He looks for opportunity. He plans to try to trip us up. And Jesus has come, and he's walking on the dusty highways of life, right where we walk, and he's giving us an example and showing us how we are to live, how we are to walk out our faith in this crazy world we live in right now. It's not going to get better, but we can make a difference. Do you understand that this morning? We are called to be light in the darkness. We're not called to complain about the darkness. We're not called to point our fingers at the darkness. We're called to go be light and bring hope and bring salvation, bring Jesus into these spaces so people can get redeemed by the blood of Christ. And Jesus is in a culture, and I want to do a little background here, because he's in a culture where he didn't land, when he started his ministry, he didn't land in Jerusalem at the temple on the holy hill. He did not start there where all those people who were religious and considered righteous, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all their scribes and all the different rabbis, and they had the Sanhedrin there, the ruling judge of all the people, and the temple is there in Jerusalem, and Jesus did not start there. He started in Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen to what it says. In chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light." It says, "Having seen the great light," it says, "on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.'" And Jesus has entered into an area where the Jews and the religious of the day would have just, they were really appalled by the fact that he's there and not with them. Do you think that religious spirit is strong today? Isn't it something that the one thing that he should have been accepted by, the one thing that all the people that were waiting for the Messiah, these guys had the whole Old Testament memorized, he's coming and fulfilling everything the prophets have said, and they are like, "That can't be him, because he came from Nazareth," which he actually came from Bethlehem, "but nothing good comes out of Nazareth." Do you start to get the idea of how they look at people? The religious of the day had done nothing but say, if you were sick, or if you have a disease, or if you were crippled, or if you were blind, or if you couldn't hear, if you had leprosy, you were cursed by God. So Jesus is stepping into a culture where they believe that they are all of that. Look at me. Aren't I something? Got my little curls and my little scripture tied in, and got my tassels, and I've got my robes, and I'm something. And Jesus is entering into a culture like this. Don't you wonder what he would do in our culture? I mean, that's the way my mind works. I'm thinking, okay, he walked into this culture. He walked into a culture that had become extremely religious. For 400 years, there was no prophet, no mouthpiece of God until John the Baptist came. They didn't even accept him. Thought he was demon-possessed. Crazy man. Because he wouldn't tell them what they wanted to hear. But he's telling them to repent and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And Jesus is coming into this scene, this whole culture, where they thought they were already in. They were on the road to heaven. We're Abraham's descendants. I mean, woo, everybody else are nothing but dogs. That's what they called the Gentiles. And they hated the Samaritans, those who were half Jewish and half Gentile. I don't even know if they loved each other, but they sure loved themselves. And I don't know if we fully grasp this kind of culture that Jesus is walking into. And he's getting ready for the biggest sermon that's ever been preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's going to begin to dismantle everything they understand to be righteous and holy, and tell them what really is righteous and holy. And he's going to speak in his own authority, and he's going to teach them. You've heard it said all the way through. We're going to hear him say this. You've heard it said, but I tell you, this is what it means. And I'm telling you right now, the religious of the day struggle. And I believe if Jesus walked among us, he might walk in and turn us a little bit upside down or right side up, because we have an idea of what we think is righteous too. And as we enter into the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be getting into the Beatitudes, I want you to think about this. Jesus is beginning to tell you what it means to be a part of his kingdom. What it looks like for you to actually enter in and to actually be able to say you're one of his. And it's pretty powerful. And it's a little bit different than we think. And as I get in here, one of the things I want to tell you, one of my greatest fears, to be really honest, when I gave my life to Jesus at 17, I began to read the Bible and read it like crazy. One of the things that I saw in there often was people who started out good, ended bad. Did not want to be that person. People that started out on fire end up cooling off. And they got religious. They knew the language. They knew how to talk the talk. But there was no fire in them anymore. And everything that I believe that God is trying to capture our hearts with this morning, even as we enter into this series and as we learn to walk the Jesus way and understand what he's teaching, what he's saying it really means to be part of me, may we open our hearts to it. May we allow the Spirit of God to test us to see if we're really where we need to be. Because everything Jesus is doing here is going to rattle their culture and everything they thought was holy and everything they thought was religious, everything they thought was living a right life. And he's attacking it. But he starts out here, and listen to this, in chapter 5 of Matthew, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. It says his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." So there's a whole crowd. He said to them, can you imagine? These are the first words in his sermon. He says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'm just going to tell you right now, for the religious of the day, being poor in spirit was the last thing that they wanted to be. Being poor in spirit was for the person who was cursed by God. Being poor in spirit was for the one who wasn't living for him or keeping the law. Being poor in spirit was the one who wasn't of Abraham's descendants. And the leaders of that culture, when he starts that way, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he's like, what do you mean? How can you be blessed if you're poor in spirit? And Jesus began to spell out for us, what does it mean? What does it look like for us to enter in and be a part of his kingdom? Because see, you know, Matthew's whole point is the king has come. The king is here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were created. Without him, nothing has been created. In him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And it goes on to tell us, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus has come, and a great light has dawned, and the shadow of death. Do you understand? We were all in the shadow of death, separated from God, and Jesus has come to redeem his people, to redeem us. And he starts out by saying this, the good news of the gospel is, blessed are the broken, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who understand their sinfulness, blessed are those who realize that they can't keep the law. James 2:10 says that if you stumble in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole. Anybody besides me have stumbled at least once? Think about this. And Jesus is saying it's only when you realize your sinfulness, your brokenness, your spiritual poverty, are you blessed. So what's it mean? It's interesting because it starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. What does blessed really mean? Many have just interpreted it, happy. Well, I think you do get happy after you understand what happens because you come this way. But it's more than happy. It means that God's favor, his blessing, his, you have all hope, you have his presence is on you if you're poor in spirit, if you come broken, knowing that you're broken. Can you imagine the difference? I mean, one of the things that I've struggled with in churches, and I know this is hard for us, when you get raised in a church from the time you're little, my biggest concern for my kids were that they would learn the language and learn the culture of the church and learn the game and how to play the put the mask on and appear to be certain ways and never really understand a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you just feel like you've always been here. I've been here since I can remember. I can never remember not being in church, right? I can't remember not being here on Sunday and Wednesday night and Friday night, fifth quarter and youth group and all those kind of things. You know, I can't remember not doing that. I can remember because I wasn't there. And I realize that I think a lot of people in the Jewish culture, this is what they were going through. Their kids go to local synagogue. They teach them Torah from the time they're little. all boys and girls alike go to school from about kindergarten through fourth grade before they start changing what they do. The girls go home. That's the end of their schooling. But they learn Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you know how they learn Torah? They memorize it and talk about it and teach on it. That's their whole school system. We got to live in Torah. That's what it means to live for God, okay? But so from day one, they learn this stuff, and they learn all the rituals, they learn all the rites, they learn all the laws, they learn all the things that they do, and they go through the motions so long, they lose all sense of being in a relationship with the God of the universe. Now, I know that's not true of everybody that has been raised up in the church, because I believe the Spirit of God comes and meets people and changes their lives. But until that moment happens, you know what I prayed for my kids, and I think it's so important. I prayed for each one of my kids, that because they all accepted Jesus when they're young, they got baptized when they're young, all those kind of things. But I prayed like crazy, Lord, please give them that Waterloo moment, that road to Damascus moment, when they realize I'm utterly sinful in the sight of my God, and if he doesn't rescue me, I'm a dead person. Until you have that, how can you be thankful? I think one of the hardest things is I deal with people all the time, and people tell me, you know, I've been good my whole life. I'm like, well, good for you. I hope that's working. I really haven't met a good person. I met people that are good in the sense they try to be good, and they try to be morally good, but there's no such thing as a good person. Nobody's getting in because they thought they were good enough. And until you see your sinfulness, you'll never be utterly broken before the Lord. You'll never understand and have the reason I'm so excited about Jesus is I was a rotten sinner, and I knew it. And what I mean by that is the Spirit of God came and opened my heart up to see that I was completely separated from God. And the day that I gave my life to Jesus and ran down to the altar, I shook so bad I couldn't even kneel. You know why I shook so bad? Because I knew I deserved hell. I didn't deserve his mercy. Some people in the church today live like that, God's lucky to have me, you know. Really? I mean, we do. I run into that, and I'm just like, okay, have fun. You know, good luck. Until you realize you're not good in and of yourself. You know what's good in me? Jesus. His righteousness in me. In Jesus is where you're righteous. In his redeeming blood is what makes you righteous. But man, do you understand that we're spiritual beggars otherwise? And Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are spiritually know that their poverty is real and they can't reach Jesus in and of themselves. And man, when you come that way, he comes. It's interesting here. Blessed also means that, and happy are those who are not spiritually arrogant. And I thought that was interesting, that that's the flip side of understanding this. It's those who are not spiritually arrogant. And I think there's a lot of that in the culture. And I think God wants to break through that. There's not one person here better than another person sitting here. It doesn't matter if you've been in church your whole life. It doesn't matter if you think you've served God your whole life. The first will be last and the last will be first. Jesus just flips everything around. Do you understand? You could be here your whole life and a person could be here for a month and your being here is just as important as the person who's been here the whole time. Do you understand that? Jesus ministered to people that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have considered unclean. Oh, man. It drove him crazy. And he's starting out in this sermon, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I want to turn to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to show you another teaching that Jesus ties in with this. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And I want to walk through this morning because this has a lot to do with understanding our spiritual poverty. It's understanding what it means to be blessed as a poor in spirit. And listen to what it says. And it's a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it says this in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. You ever met anybody like that? Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And you have to understand something just real quick. In their culture, a tax collector was a Sadducee who actually worked with Rome and collected money from his fellow brethren for Rome, and he would most likely take more than he's supposed to take, right? So he was one of the most hated individuals in the culture, and Jesus is highlighting this person, okay? Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And I'd like to say I've never said that. Have you ever thought, even in your mind, man, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad that, Lord, I'm not that person. You ever felt that in your heart? You ever thought that? Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Sounds like a pretty spiritual person. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I think there's a danger the longer we're followers of Christ. If we're not careful, we can begin to look down on people, and we can begin to judge people, and we can begin to think that we have the right to do so, and we do not have the right to do so. In fact, Jesus is teaching that the one who just cried out in his humbleness and was broken, the tax collector, who felt he's not even worthy to look up. Jesus says and teaches here that he was the one who left justified in God's eyes. Isn't that powerful? Can I say that the church, one of the things that I think is creepy, I'm going to use that word, isn't that crazy? Creepy? Is if we're not careful, we put a mask on every Sunday when we come in and we appear that we all have it together. So the church starts to become a place where you can't be real. The church becomes a place that those who are poor in spirit, that are spiritually broken, who need to be able to get it out, feel like they can't get it out because everybody here has it all together. Can I just tell you, if you're sitting here today, we don't have it all together. Neither do I. I'm your pastor. I don't have it all together. I'm in process. God is working in me. He's transforming me through the power of His Spirit. He's working out my, quote, sanctification. And what that literally means, He is making me more and more like Him. But sometimes when we think somebody's more and more like Him, I hear people talk about people, and I've read books where this guy was so righteous, he'd fast for 40 days and shut himself up in a room and have nothing but water and bread and do this stuff, and nobody could get close to him. That is not a picture of Jesus, is it? And it's funny, in our culture, what we start to think is righteous and holy, yet Jesus goes right into that filthy place called Galilee that all the Jews said is unclean. In fact, when they would come back from the market there, it was like, we gotta wash and do all this stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong to wash your hands. If you're thinking I'm saying that, no. I'm saying they do it because they felt like maybe they touched somebody and they become unclean spiritually. And so they would do this ceremonial stuff and try to become unclean. Jesus began his ministry right in the heart of the culture that needed hope the most. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? So when we talk about being blessed are the poor in spirit, Holman Christian Standard Version, it's kind of interesting what they do. They flip it around. The poor in spirit are blessed, is how it reads. Instead of blessed are the poor in spirit, it starts with the poor in spirit are blessed. I like that because I think it gives us a better idea of what he's saying. When you become spiritually and understand your lostness, you understand your sinfulness, and you come spiritually broken as a spiritual beggar, blessing comes. God's favor comes. His presence comes. His healing power comes. His love comes. Have you ever experienced it? I mean, really experienced it? Have you ever? I'm afraid too many people have punched their ticket and just said a little prayer without any real conviction. That scares me. For you. My question to everybody, what'd you get saved from? Did you really come and repent? Did you really come broken? Did you really come and say, Lord, I have no hope without you? Lord, if you don't save me, I stand damned. Lord, if your mercy doesn't flow in my life, I'll have to give an account for everything I've ever done, thought, or didn't do that I should have done. Can you imagine just for a moment with me? I was a part of Evangelism Explosion for years, and one of the illustrations I always thought was kind of interesting. Because the example is, what if you only sinned 3 times a day? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Only had one bad thought. Only didn't do something I should have done, or whatever. I think that's pretty good if you don't have 3 bad thoughts an hour sometimes, right? But if you only had 3 things a day that you sinned 3 times a day, and you live to be 80 years old, how many sins would that be? I need a mathematician. It'd be a lot. We have this idea that, you know, I'm pretty good. No, you're not. We used to do another illustration where we'd say, you know, if I made the perfect omelet and it took 6 eggs, and that 6th egg that I cracked was rotten, all the 5 will make it go away. It only takes 1 to make you rotten. And I just don't know that we understand fully or grasp fully the full weight of our sinfulness. Because I'm convinced in Romans 3:23 when it says, for all have sinned, and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. And I just want to know how many of you want to stand in judgment, because you will stand in judgment. I will stand in judgment. And have the books of your life opened. Meaning, everything is written down. First time I read that, that just creeped me out. I mean, fully did. Because I'm like, uh-oh. And you, there's some things you've done in your life and you're really glad nobody saw you. But can I tell you, somebody saw you? He still wants us. That's the good news, isn't it? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of that sin is death. That's that spiritual death, that separation from God. But it goes on, and I'm so glad it goes on. But what? The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to what it's in this passage. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The religious culture is going, I don't understand what he's saying. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's saying the ones that are the most broken, the ones that realize that they're sinful, the ones that come weeping, the ones that are miserable in that sense who come to him, they're going to be blessed. And I just want you to know I'm a living testimony of that blessing. And you are too today if you've given your life to Jesus Christ in that manner. You are blessed because God's favor, his presence, is upon you. He's for you. He's for me. There is nothing greater in all the world than being called a child of God. Jesus is teaching very clearly today, this is the only way in. So that's the good news. The bad news, for those who think they're on the road to eternity, the Jews who would literally say, we're of Abraham, we're his descendants, we're of the covenant of God, we belong to God. And Jesus is literally telling them straight up, unless you come like this, I will have nothing to do with you. You'll have no part with me in my kingdom. You can go to church your whole life. You can even profess Jesus your whole life. But if you haven't come and really been broken before God and yielded your heart and life to Him because you're a sinner who doesn't have a chance without the grace and the mercy of God, you're not entering in. There's only one way. And my question this morning, have you come in that way? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? The good news this morning for everyone here is that the love of Christ is what drove him to that cross because we couldn't be good enough. And maybe today you understand what it is to be separated from God and be a sinner. Maybe some of you need to make a commitment for the first time. Maybe some of you need to make recommitments because you've grown cold. Maybe some of you just realize, I just need more of you, Lord. And no matter what it is, if that's you today, would you just stand? There's no secret service Christians. I don't like to do things in secret. But if you're here today and that's you, just stand. Say, Lord, I need that. Anyone else? Just stay standing. Go ahead, stand up. Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't want to miss it. So if you're here today and you haven't made that commitment, just simply say this, Lord Jesus, today I commit my life to you. I confess my spiritual poverty, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And Lord, would you save me? And I put my faith in what you've done on the cross. Lord, for those who stood and feel like they've grown complacent, would you powerfully send forth your Spirit? If you're here today and that's you, just say, Holy Spirit, come and breathe your life in me that I might live all out for Jesus and not for myself. Father, I pray for each one who is here today. Lord, we need a new, fresh baptism of your Spirit, Lord. We want your Spirit to come and do a new work in our hearts, and Lord, that we might live in a manner that causes people everywhere we go to say, I want the Jesus I see in that person. Lord, have your way in our hearts and our lives. And all God's people said, amen.
If you'll stand and worship.
The dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten there, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power thank you. to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame. He bore the wrath, and we stand forgiven at the daylight leaves. Now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. This the
one of our elders. I'm going to have him close us in prayer today, but I want to share as he's coming, do you understand all the parties that go on into heaven? Every time somebody turns to the Lord, there's a celebration, there's a party. There's just a great outpouring of God's rejoicing over us, and I hope you experience that today. But I'm just so pleased. We have such a great team of elders, and I wanted Tom to close us today. Thanks, brother.
The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I just ask, as the Holy Spirit leads us today, as what we heard from your word, we will rejoice. And Father, I pray a special blessing on the congregation this morning, that you would go in peace and love and forgiveness, of appreciation of our forgiveness, and be a benefit to you this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come.